right now on VFN TV. We're going to be going to where Hurricane Harvey has hit. We're going to go where Hurricane Irma's gone. But we're going to go with President Trump and the First Lady Melania. We're going to go with Vice President Mike Pence and his wife Karen. We're going to go with Governor Rick Scott. And we're going to just see the amazing compassion that's coming from our leaders and how they're meeting the needs of the people in America under this great time of difficulty. Also, we're going to go to the United Nations and hear our president's pre-speech that he had, and also a meeting he had with the Central American leaders. And finally, we're going to go and see that about the 70th anniversary of the U.S. Air Force and how the president's speech, but also the First Lady, how she's impacting our country right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
He said the seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. Does it look like Tomahawk missiles in Syria? Does it look like Moab bombs in Afghanistan? Does it look like the carrier group run off the coast of North Korea? Of course, a lot of people who liked the status quo and people who were for aborting children, for funding Planned Parenthood, for befriending the enemies of Israel, they're upset right now. But the people that are for God, for Israel, for the country, for the Constitution, for Supreme Court justice that actually loves the Constitution and honors it, they're happy and for God.
They will shout, impeach, impeach, they say. But nay.
But we know that families and churches, not government officials, know best how to create a strong and loving community.
Saudi Arabia has always been keen to play its role in the region and in partnership with the U.S., so I think we are more than ready to cooperate with the United States on countering ISIS.
America is back again.
Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you went to the Western Wall and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it.
Israelis have experienced firsthand the hatred and terror of radical violence. Israelis are murdered by terrorists wielding knives and bombs. Hamas and Hezbollah launch rockets into Israeli communities where school children have to be trained to hear the sirens and to run to the bomb shelters with fear, but with speed. Not with Donald J. Trump.
God sent me here as a prophet to say to you, God is about to give wealth transfer in these last days. And you need to believe it.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land, and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and join me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, Hurricane Harvey hit hard. It flooded the city of Houston. But guess what? Our president and our vice president and their wives and our leaders are going down immediately beginning to work together and take care of the victims of Hurricane Harvey. As a matter of fact, we're going to join the vice president. Vice President Mike Pence and his wife Karen as they're going down and sharing the vision, the love, and the caring and all the federal resources with those in Houston. Let's join them now.
President Trump often reminds us that we are one American family, that when one hurts, we all hurt. We stand together in difficult times. Those who at this very hour are continuing to put themselves in harm's way to rescue people and deliver them from danger. They and you have inspired the nation, and we commend them. I think Karen and I today were most inspired by the volunteers. To see the outpouring of compassion and concern was deeply inspiring to us. And every American should know that even in this difficult time, this disastrous storm, that the very best of the people of Texas and the very best of the people of America is shining forth. On behalf of the American people, the with the leadership of President Donald Trump to the people of Texas. We are with you today. We will be with you tomorrow, and we will be with you every day until this great state and these great communities recover and rebuild to be even better and stronger than ever before.
That's so encouraging to see Vice President Mike Pence and his wife, Karen, and Governor Greg Abbott, the great governor of the great state of Texas. He's just such a compassionate man and standing up for the Constitution and protecting his state and being there, all these resources. As a matter of fact, I believe that he and the president were on the phone, and it's like 15 seconds prior to Hurricane Harvey hitting. After it hitting, they declared a national emergency and provided the federal funds immediately started coming there. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear this is actually a pictorial moment of President Trump and his wife, First Lady, going down to be able to love and feed and care and just comfort those in Hurricane Harvey. As a matter of fact, let's take a look. I'm dead.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
So encouraging to be able to see President Trump and his wife Melania loving and meeting each of the citizens' need in Texas that's suffering such great loss. I mean, think about it. Everything you have, just like this prophetic dream I shared in the previous program, is just flooded out. What there's no way you can get away from it. But guess what? All these resources are coming in. Our president merged and helped out with the local state government and the local governments, and they're all working together to meet the needs. When you see your president and your first lady, you know, hugging and feeding and loving and kissing the children and just being there for them, it just makes you feel good, doesn't it? Isn't it good to have a leader that cares about our country, that cares about us when we're in difficult times? And it was so encouraging to watch the people of Texas just hug our president and just thank him and want to get a selfie with him and all that kind of stuff. And the real story is America's heart is good. People in America are good. It's the people that have the control over some of the media that's saying some things. But the most of us, hey, it's like Dr. King said, I believe the heart of the people, most of America, is good. We just got to get to them. And now you're seeing the heart of real kindness. Well, not only did Hurricane Harvey hit Texas, but we had Hurricane Irma came right after that and hit Florida. It was scheduled to be a Category 5 when it hit the land. But guess what? We prayed, God honored that prayer and cut it down to what, but it still did massive damage to Florida. But guess what? Governor Rick Scott, President Trump, First Lady Melania, they all went down there to be able to meet their needs, to be able to go to them and to be able to provide all the resources they can get. As a matter of fact, let's join them now. Is that not encouraging to see what's taking place in Florida? I mean, you think about all the things that are going on right now. And we're going to go to the UN. We're going to hear what the speech the president gave, the first speech that he gave, and see some meetings that he had, including a meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But guess what? Even in the midst of all this, he still even went back to Florida again to make sure that the citizens of Florida were taken care of. As he and Governor Rick Scott and the First Lady Melania were together to make sure that every need was met, including the Secretary of Health. It's amazing how this cabinet, these leaders in Washington, D.C., that America actually selected this president to be able to select these leaders. It's because in the first 100 years of our nation, it's the first time in 100 years that they have a Bible study going on in the actual cabinet, the White House cabinet. They're seeking God. God is really helping us out at these very, very difficult times. Let's join again. He went back to Florida with Governor Rick Scott, with First Lady Melania, to be able to see what needs that was had in Florida. Check it out. Is that not encouraging? Look at everybody's needs being met. The country's working together. The government that you pay for, that your taxes pay for, they understand that they're here to serve you and meet your needs. I mean, think about it. I remember when we went through Hurricane Ivan, but for a president to show up and the first lady to be in the food line to be able to give you food. I mean, that's an amazing thing that's taking place. Medical, they had a hospital, portable hospital that just got set up in Florida, and vault doctors are coming from the New England area, and they're setting up a whole hospital that can serve, it's out of tents, but it can serve 200 people a day, and they're volunteering their time to come down. America is so kind-hearted. The people in America, it's just amazing what they're doing. Listen, we get back from this break, we're going to go to the United Nations. In the midst of all this, our president's still leading at the United Nations. He's going to be speaking. This is his pre-speech that he had at the United Nations, being able to talk about, you know, we've got to get some things in alignment. We've got to get the things straightened out. You're really going to be enjoy this. Also, you got a chance to be able to talk to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and also Macron, Emmanuel Macron, the president of France. It looks like everybody's getting along, getting together. Things are going good. As a matter of fact, join us at the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
17 years ago, I walked onto that mall with the first call DC. I'll never forget the thousands of kids that were there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, 17 years later, I almost feel it's an unfolding fulfillment of what we dreamed about then.
Never before has there ever been 50 tents on the National Mall with hundreds of musicians.
When David became king, a procession of all the tribes gathered. How many thousands?
The first thing that he did was bring the Ark of the Presence of God into the city, and he put it in a tent for 30 years. Imagine if in Washington, D.C., there was a tent city for 3 days where the song and the sound of the Lord filled our nation, and it went viral.
This has never been done before in American history. What's God had to say? This is day and night.
This is everybody bringing their song, everybody bringing their prayer, everybody coming together in one heart to declare it's a new day. It's time to awaken the dawn.
It's time for the procession of God into this nation.
Come on.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Isn't that so encouraging when you're seeing our president and the First Lady Melania,
yes.
Vice President Mike Pence and his wife Karen, beautiful Christian people, Governor Rick Scott.
Who did a phenomenal job. Did he do a great job?
If you get a chance to thank Governor Rick Scott, you need this. This man, since the day I got a chance to meet him before he became governor,
right?
And we were praying about, you know, who's going to be the next governor? What do you do? And he flew into where we were, and I got a chance to meet him with a small crowd. And everything he said he was going to do, John, everything he said he's going to do, he did.
Yeah.
Plus some. And he did the born. He signed the Born Alive bill, which was anytime a baby is born alive, you can't kill it. You think that's normal, but prior to this law, you could kill the child. Mm-hmm. And he said he would sign any pro-life bill that passed his desk. Guess what? The only reason he didn't sign any more bills is because Congress, just like in D.C., they did not put any more on his desk. Mm. So it's amazing. We've been blessed to have him.
He took on the leadership. He made things happen, and he kept people in our state very, very safe.
And term limits are coming up, so this is his last term as governor. So hopefully he has some other leadership ambitions to be able to just stay in leadership. He's working really well with President Trump and meeting the needs of Florida. And his first international visit when he became governor was to the Jerusalem and to the Western Wall. He prayed there too. So Governor Rick Scott praying at the Western Wall, and the first president ever to pray in office.
That's right.
At the Western Wall, President Trump. And it's just been amazing. Well, think about this. And, of course, Governor Greg Abbott with Texas.
Did an amazing job.
Yeah.
It really goes to show you just that, you know, no one can predict when these calamities and these disasters are going to happen. But it's so wonderful to see leadership rise up to their position and to really care for the people and do what they're supposed to be doing. That's why they were elected. And to see the way they work together with the government, I thought it was so refreshing.
You know, prophetically, Texas is a hub state. Yeah. It's going to lead America turning back to where it is, and it's so important. You're looking at it and say, well, why is this flood happening? Well, you heard on an earlier program, wherever these floods come, wherever these winds come, according to Kim Clement, according to Bill Yont and others, and what God has shown me, some of that, is that revival is coming and outpouring is coming of God right after that. And so can you imagine, you know, Texas getting back on their feet, and if any state's going to get back on their feet quickly, Texas and Florida, but also then revival comes, you know, everybody's so unified right now in Texas, just perfect environment for, you're just seeing so much love and kindness taking place. Well, do you remember what the United Nations used to be like in the previous administration? And it's like, please, no, don't
trying think. To forget, but yeah, I do remember.
You can't appreciate where we are if we don't remember where we came from.
Yeah.
And there was a speech given about 24 months ago, you know, where the previous administration, the previous president, was giving away our sovereign rights to the United Nations. Remember, he was saying, you need to give up some of your sovereignty. And he was giving up, you know, so many different things, signing over so many things, including reportedly the internet and some other things were being, and ICANN, not the internet, but ICANN, the one who manages that. And it was just, it was like, oh, every single time things would happen. But guess what? The tide's turning.
Yeah. Well, remember, this body, too, had an unstoppable Islamic communist United Nations towards Israel.
Right.
And so
what that means is every time they do something, they take a vote.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was a rigged vote. Well, that's what it's been, the United Nations, for quite some time, because the communists got together with
Islamic countries.
Yeah, the Islamic countries, the Muslim countries got together with the communist countries and formed an unstoppable voting bloc. In other words, they always had the most votes. That's why you see so many things decided against Israel. It's crazy. You got North Korea going on, torturing its people, tormenting folks, locking up five generations that if one person does something wrong, they go two or three, four or five generations and punish them. And they're not getting any marks, but Israel's getting marks from the United Nations saying that you are some oppressive state, and they're not. Israel has been a blessing to so many people. Yeah, they're just trying to stay alive. You know, and they're doing a real good job at that.
Well, listen, if you look back in the previous 8 years, you really had to question whether do we even need the United Nations anymore.
If it doesn't change its ways, there's no need for it.
Well, you're looking at a new day, and you're looking at a major shift that I think we're on the verge of having, but we still need to pray about it because, I mean, what they've been able to do has really not been good for the world, and it's definitely not been good for the United States or Israel.
And if you're in America, you're actually paying the majority of the budget.
28%.
And it also reportedly, and also the it's located in America.
New York.
When you look at, you know, is New York the spiritual Babylon spoken about in the book of Revelations? We looked at that. And it's every nation comes there, and it's like we need to really pay attention, because right now, you know, cities are being threatened from you know, foreign folks who are trying to, you know, North Korea and Iran and some others are saying, you know, death to America. And they're producing missiles. So it's important what takes place at the United Nations. Thank God for President Trump, who comes in there with Nikki Haley.
Yes.
You know, she is...
She's something. Haley's Comet. They've named her Haley's Comet.
And she came right in immediately and she said, listen, this is over how we're treating Israel. This is over how these unjust things are taking place. A new sheriff's in town, maybe something like that, she said. But now she prepared the way for the president to come in and begin this speech. This is part one of his speech when he first got there before his big speech. Let's go there now.
The United Nations was founded on truly noble goals. Yet in recent years, the United Nations has not reached its full potential because of bureaucracy and mismanagement. We seek a United Nations that regains the trust of the people around the world. We encourage the Secretary General to fully use his authority to cut through the bureaucracy, reform outdated systems, and make firm decisions to advance the UN's core mission. We pledge to be partners in your work, and I am confident that if we work together and champion truly bold reforms, the United Nations will emerge as a stronger, more effective, more just, and greater force for peace and harmony in the world.
It's so powerful. I mean, if you can see the context, if you go watch one of our previous programs when we were talking about during the previous administration, I mean, God's just had mercy on us. You know, this is literally, I think, the J. And Donald J. Trump stands for Jehu. I know we prophesied that. We talked about that. But right now, Jonathan Kahn, and he has a book out called Paradigm, and he's talking about how we line specifically up, and we'll have more about that on the program. But we're moving right along at the time of Ahab and Jezebel, when they were in leadership in Israel, and God was wanting to take them out of government and put new government in, that there was a process to that. And eventually... one particular wild riding man, he was known for his crazy, how he drove, he was just radical. His name was Jehu, and he came in and he actually drained the swamp, literally, in Israel, and put in all new leadership and shifted everything. And we'll have more about that. But you're seeing somebody with that kind of tenacity that, according to Kim Clement in his prophecy in 2014, said that God's established this man to do just that. Well, listen, we get back. We're going to go right straight to the United Nations. Because at the United Nations, after he finished giving the speech, the president had a chance to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. We're going to find out, you know, exactly how Israel's responding to our current leadership, the president of France, you know, Macron, and how, you know, our nations are coming together and lining up, and how the president was there for him, you know, during their celebration, and they're going to be there for... I mean, it's amazing the things that are happening. So much of the media is missing it, but you're not missing it. You're not missing it on VFN TV. You're going to see that when you come back. But listen, I have this gift for you right now. I want to just send it to you. Here's the details.
Offer 2040. What is man that you are mindful of him? This message will inspire and encourage you and take you to a deeper understanding of the awesomeness of God and his heart for you. The earth is said to be spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. The earth is orbiting the sun at 483,000 miles per hour. In the middle of a galaxy of billions of stars, that is in a universe that is filled with an uncountable number of galaxies. Yet God, who created all of this, has you on his heart and mind. Discover the answer to the question, who am I, that you are thinking about me and entrusting me with all you have created? We want to send you this offer for a free gift of any amount. Or you can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or you can call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2040. What is man that you are mindful of him?
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I talk to a number of mothers these days, especially those with younger kids, who feel like they're suffering from burnout. If they have to do one more load of laundry or tie one more shoe, they'll just explode.
Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
This problem of parental burnout is much more common today than it was a few years ago. Remember something called the extended family, when grandmothers and aunts and sisters all lived nearby and everyone gathered together daily? Well, those days are apparently gone forever. Nowadays, there is such isolation for young mothers at home. That's why I strongly encourage the stay-at-home mother of small children to resist the temptation to pull within the walls of that house and allow them to collapse on her. She should develop relationships with neighbors and other mothers and to get together regularly. They should trade babysitting services so each is free to go bowling or shopping or simply waste an occasional afternoon. And the husband of a full-time mother should understand her circumstances. He should be careful to schedule a date with her every week or two, leaving the children at home and even forget about them for an evening. This helps the couple to connect and achieve intimacy. In short, burnout can be avoided, but only if we pause long enough to recharge the batteries.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
When the organ that pumps out life is itself in pain, it is pumping out the trauma and the pain that it is going through. The fact of the matter is, you and I are now products of the electronic image culture. You are communicating with your children, with your grandchildren, and their whole world is like the organ that is pumping culture out to them, is itself in trauma. They cannot distance themselves from it and say, this is what I'm going to say about it. They are in the pain of the media culture. If we are wrapped up in the message and the message is in the medium, how do we deal with the situation that gets so complicated? Prophetically, Dostoevsky said this: first art would imitate life, then life would imitate art, and finally, life would draw the very reason for its existence from the arts.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back, welcome back. We are at the United Nations with the president, with the cabinet, with the Haley's Comet, you know, the ambassador.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. And it's exciting to see what's taking place. Make sure you join us tomorrow, too. We're going to have the full speech where he deals specifically with North Korea and defines him as Rocket Man. And it's going all over the place. If you're familiar with hashtag Rocket Man, I'm sure it's going everywhere. But he's singling out North Korea. He's singling out Iran and how they're both moving in the same area, same genre. And it looks like the nations are beginning to really think about, we need to get with Jehu. No, we need to get with Donald J. Trump, because he's serious about it. But what's exciting, too, is that we stand with Israel. We're friends with Israel. Our president, no longer do we have a president who likes to joust. This is what our previous president said. He likes to joust with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. That's what I'm saying. It's like saying I want to joust with David, you know?
No, how about the apple of God's eye?
Sticking a stick in God's eye.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
Not good, because Israel's known as the apple of God's eye. And it was just, you know, we have as a matter of fact, I want you to see this before we go here. I want you to see what we call angry birds, because this is how our previous president treated Israel, to understand what you're about to see of our current president, how he is honoring Israel, standing with Israel, and Israel's standing with us. Israel is a force to be reckoned with. You want Israel standing with you. But before we go see this awesome encounter of the United Nations, because we showed you Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at the United Nations, literally for 35 seconds of silence, he stared on the nations. He said, listen, this whole thing was created. The United Nations was created because of what took place in the Holocaust. Don't you remember? Why are you so silent? And God heard our prayers. Even though the nations were silent, our God moved powerfully. And now we have a man in office who openly stands with Israel and is a friend with Israel. But first, before we go to the UN and see President Trump speak with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in his support of America, I want you to remind you, we call this Angry Birds, because it's every time you met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, former President Barack Obama, he had a scowl on his face. He was angry. He was looking down. He was condescending. He was poking his finger in his chest. It was just weird. But he was sending a message to God and everyone that I don't stand with Israel. Let's take a look.
You know, you said the other day to Jeffrey Goldberg in an interview that you plan to be around 20 years from now. Yeah. Therefore, you'll feel responsible if Iran gets nuclear by then. And I just realized perhaps you plan to be many years more around If only to postpone the moment that Bibi comes speak at the funeral?
That was one of my better jokes.
You enjoyed the punch, did you?
That was a good joke.
You know, can we skip the part in which you tell me there's nothing personal between you two?
Yeah, you know, I will tell you this. When I'm with Bibi, we have good conversations. They're tough. They're forceful. We disagree. But I enjoy jousting with him.
Did you enjoy the meeting? You remember the meeting 4 years ago here at the White House when he took the time to speak about some chapters in Jewish history? I could see your jaws locked.
Oh, no. I think I was probably just hungry and waiting for lunch. There's no doubt that Prime Minister Netanyahu and I come from different political traditions and have different orientations.
So needless to say, our previous president had a very hard heart towards Israel. And, you know, we always were hoping it would get better. Even one speech that we followed when he was in Israel.
Well, this was confirmed over and over again.
Yeah, that's like nonstop.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of those defining moments that we went through, you know, this previous 8 years, mm-hmm. hoping, praying consistently for 7 years mm-hmm. for the president at the time, Barack Obama, his mm-hmm. wife, his daughters.
We prayed protection
years.
Over
oh,
them.
Oh, yes, for 7 years.
Yeah.
And we wanted him
they
to succeed.
They took Israel off of Jerusalem, off of the White House website.
We wanted him to succeed.
We did. We prayed.
You know, he was our president of all the people.
We literally recorded our prayers, John. We actually had them typed out. For years, all eight years, every Monday for 24 hours, you know, we prayed. And we've been praying for this president. Yeah. And you need to pray for all those in authority over you. And by the grace of God, we made it through those 8 years without God disciplining us. Because we're on the urge being disciplined as a nation so bad.
For how we treated Israel.
Yeah.
The Iran deal.
Yes.
You had when he went over to Israel and spoke at the university, not the Knesset. Mm-hmm. And the whole time we're saying, listen, you know, the first part of the speech was great, but it was the tail end.
Take it to the UN.
Take it to the UN.
Which is the unstoppable voting bloc against Israel. Listen, we want to go then now. Now you can appreciate this meeting at the United Nations for all the nations of the world are coming together, 196 countries coming together, and their President Donald Trump, your president, President of the United States, with the Prime Minister, the leader of Israel, having a meeting, and now look what God has done. This is an awesome relationship. Let's go there now.
Netanyahu with us today, a friend of mine for many years, and it's a real honor, I have to say. We're going to be discussing many things, among them peace between the Palestinians and Israel. It would be a fantastic achievement, and we are giving it an absolute go. I think there's a good chance that it could happen. Most people would say there's no chance whatsoever. I actually think with the capability of Bibi, and frankly, the other side, I really think we have a chance. I think Israel would like to see it, and I think the Palestinians would like to see it. And I can tell you that the Trump administration would like to see it. So we're working very hard on it. We'll see what happens. Historically, people say it can't happen. I say it can happen. But I just want to say that it's just an honor to have you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. President, it's great to see you again. I want to say that under your leadership, the alliance between America and Israel has never been stronger, never been deeper. I can say this in ways that people see and in ways that they don't see. So I want to thank you for that. Equally, I look forward to discussing with you how we can address together what you rightly call is the terrible nuclear deal with Iran and how to roll back Iran's growing aggression in the region, especially in Syria. As you said, we will discuss the way we can seize the opportunity for peace between Israel and the Palestinians and between Israel and the Arab world. I think these things go together, and we look forward to talking about how we can advance both. Finally, we're going to be speaking tomorrow at the UN. And I want to say that under President Trump, America's position towards Israel at the UN has been unequivocal, it's been strong, it's got both clarity and conviction. And I want to thank you on behalf of the people of Israel and Israel's many friends around the world. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Thank you.
And also, as you well know, this is the Jewish New Year this week. So I want to wish you, the Jewish community of America, Jews everywhere, people everywhere. Shana Tova, happy, healthy New Year. Thank you, Mr. President.
This is so powerful. It's the New Year. It's very significant. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's taking place. Things are about to shift. Things are building. But guess what? President Trump stood with Israel and the Jewish people in celebrating the high holidays, the high holy days for Israel, and he put out a press announcement from the White House. Let's join him now.
On behalf of all Americans, I want to wish Jewish families many blessings in the new year. The high holy days are a time of both reflection on the past year and hope for renewal in the year to come. Jewish communities across the country and around the world enter into a time of prayer, repentance, and rededication to the sacred values and traditions that guide the incredible character and spirit of the Jewish people. We reaffirm the unbreakable bond between the United States and Israel, and we ask God to deliver justice, dignity, and peace on earth. Melania and I wish everyone a sweet, healthy, and peaceful year, which we hope will bring many blessings to all. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
That's such a huge contrast. Mm. God has heard, God has had mercy on America. When you stand with Israel, you're standing with God. And look how supportive our president is and how Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, they stand together. Listen, let's go back to the United Nations, because at the United Nations, President Trump got the chance to be able to speak with the president of France. His name is Emmanuel Macron. And as a matter of fact, he was there at their previous celebration. They're talking about having a similar celebration here on the 4th of July. Let's go. This is the United Nations. This is the President of France and the President of the United States of America.
It's a great honor to be with President Macron of France, who's had one of the great election victories of all time. I will tell you, that was an exciting evening. And I must say, I stayed and I watched every moment of it. It was a very, very exciting time. He's doing a terrific job in France. He's doing what has to be done. He's respected by the French people, and I can tell you he's respected by the people of the United States. So we have a lot of things to talk about. We'll be discussing many different elements. I'm not sure we should discuss all of it with the media, but they probably know before we know. So I just want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank your representatives for being here, many of whom I know already. And we will have very productive meetings. France is a great country. It's a beautiful country. I won't soon forget our dinner on top of the Eiffel Tower, where we really got to know each other and our families. And thank you very much. And I do want to say that I was your guest at Bastille Day, and it was one of the greatest parades I've ever seen. It was 2 hours on the button, and it was military might. And I think a tremendous thing for France and for the spirit of France. And people don't know what great warriors they are in France. But when you see that and you see all the victories, it was a tremendous thing. And to a large extent, because of what I witnessed, we may do something like that on July 4th in Washington, down Pennsylvania. I don't know. We're going to have to try and top it. But we had a lot of planes going over. We had a lot of military. It was really a beautiful thing to see. They had representatives from different wars and different uniforms. It was really so well done. But I came back, and one of my early calls were, I think we're going to have to start looking at that ourselves. So we're actually thinking about 4th of July, Pennsylvania Avenue, having a really great parade.
President Macron, it's awesome. He spoke. It's we wonderful. Spoke in French, and so we wanted to go ahead and bring you that. But they just, as a matter of fact, they were at the G20 or something like mm-hmm. that. President Macron was on the whole other side. We actually have a video of that. We showed it to you. And he wiggled his way through everyone, all these nations, and he stood by President Trump.
That's right.
He made a friend with him. He invited him to Bastille Day. President Trump went, and now you're looking at the relationships building between France and between America. It's very, very encouraging to see positive relationships being built. One last meeting, United Nations, the president's meeting with Latin America leaders. It's so important because you're looking at Venezuela and how that's turning upside down. The other nations are going some difficulty, and we're connecting with and allying with our friends and partners in this hemisphere of Latin America at the United Nations. Let's check it out now.
Well, thank you very much, everyone. It's a great honor. I had a long conversation with President Xi of China this morning. We discussed some of the obvious things, and we discussed
trade, and we also discussed a place called North Korea. It was a long call. It was a very good call. We have a very, very fine relationship, and let's see what happens. I think we're making great progress. So, and we are going to be going to China on during the month of November. You probably have it in your schedules, and I look very much forward to that. And I'm thrilled to host this important dinner with leaders of some of the greatest allies in the Western Hemisphere, and that is so true. We're here to discuss the growing crisis in Venezuela, the socialist dictatorship of Nicolas Maduro has inflicted terrible misery and suffering on the good people of that country. This corrupt regime destroyed a thriving nation by imposing a failed ideology that has produced poverty and despair everywhere it has been tried. To make matters worse, Maduro has defied his own people, stealing power from their elected representatives to preserve his disastrous rule. The Venezuelan people are starving, and their country is collapsing. It was one of the wealthiest countries in the world for a long period of time, and now the people are starving and the country is collapsing. Who would find that possible? Democratic institutions are being destroyed. The situation is completely unacceptable. As responsible neighbors and friends of the Venezuelan people, our goal must be to help them regain their freedom, recover their country, and restore their democracy. I'd like to thank the leaders in this room. We have some great leaders in this room. I want to thank them for condemning the regime and to providing the vital support to the Venezuelan people. Most of the media, the press, a lot of other leaders have no idea the tremendous job that the people, without exception, in this room, as leaders of their country in helping the people. And I can tell you, we really appreciate it, and the world really appreciates it. So thank you all very much. We appreciate that so much. The United States has taken important steps to hold the regime accountable. We are prepared to take further action if the government of Venezuela persists on the path to imposing authoritarian rule on the Venezuelan people. We are fortunate to have incredibly strong and healthy trade relationships with all of the countries gathered here today. They're doing very well with the United States. We want to try and change that a little bit so we can turn the tables just a little bit. You're doing very well. I congratulate you all. Nikki knows exactly what I'm saying. Rex knows exactly what I'm saying. But we have great relationships and we do great trade. Our economic bonds form a critical foundation for advancing peace and prosperity for all of our people and all of our neighbors. I ask every country represented here to be prepared to do more to address this unbelievably serious crisis. We call for the full restoration of democracy and political freedoms in Venezuela, and we want it to happen very, very soon. So again, I'd like to thank everybody. We look forward to having dinner with you, and we will talk individually about what ideas you may have concerning Venezuela and other situations that we're also dealing on, including trade. Mr. Vice President, thank you very much for being here. Would you like to say a word, Mike?
Thank you, Mr. President. It was my great honor to represent you in the United States in a trip through Latin America, and it is good to see many of the leaders that extended their hospitality to the United States. And I echo your strong affirmation of the partnerships that are represented at this table. Partnerships for prosperity, partnerships for security, and we look forward to continuing to work with all the leaders at this table to promote the mutual prosperity of all of our nations throughout this hemisphere. And it's an honor to be here, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, Mike. And Rex, would you like to say something? Secretary of State.
Well, Mr. President, let me just add first my welcome to all of you to the dinner as well with the President. And these are all very important countries to the United States relationship in the Western Hemisphere economically, but also from a security standpoint. We have many, many shared issues to fight against crime, fight against corruption, narcotics trade, and all of you are very important in the cooperation that we receive in working together towards these shared goals. So very pleased to be with all of you tonight.
And Nikki Haley, thank you so much for the job you've done over the last long time to just put it together. We had incredible meetings today with France and with Israel, the two leaders and the great leaders, and we covered a lot of territory, and we have a lot of agreement, I can tell you that. So we've done a lot, and we're going to be doing a lot more, I understand, for the next 4 days. So, Nikki, would you say a few words?
We just want to welcome everyone to New York. I can tell you that in the United Nations, really, your ambassadors are great friends, and we have started to work really closely together because your region matters, and the partnerships and the friendships need to be solid so that we don't wait until crisis hits, but that we are already partnering in every way that we can. So thank you for taking the time to be here and enjoy New York.
Well, thank you, Nikki, and thank you, Rex, and thank you, Mike, and we appreciate your being here. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
T, totally awesome. It's like grown-ups are here, right?
Yes, adults at the table.
Not trying to undermine anybody, just being up front, and it's just encouraging. Thank God for solid, direct leadership. Listen, we're going to go to break. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear the First Lady. She does a visit to the Andrews Air Force Base, to the community and the families there. It's going to bless your heart. Join us after the break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
As Operation Blessing teams continue to work throughout Texas, we have teams right here in Florida that are helping with Hurricane Irma responses. Today I'm in Naples, Florida, and as you can see behind me, we're at Mills of Hope, and this truck is being unloaded. And as this truck is being unloaded, there's residents standing here waiting for food, water, personal hygiene items. I begin to talk to them and just ask them, like, what are you guys going through? One family, they live in a local apartment complex, and they said they had to climb out literally over trees to even get here to get food today. And so while they're facing these widespread power outages, Operation Blessing will be here. We're moving semi-trucks all over the state of Florida. As I speak, we have five trucks that have either been delivered or in motion, and tomorrow there will be more trucks that are rolling into the area. If you're watching and you're saying, you know, I'd love to get involved, we need more volunteers, especially in Texas. And so if you're watching and you'd like to volunteer, please go to OperationBlessing.org, click on Volunteers. Operation Blessing will take care of everything that you need. We'll provide food, lodging. We just ask that you provide your own transportation to Texas and to and from the work site. So again, please continue to pray for the residents of Texas as they recover, the residents here in Florida as they recover, and just know that Operation Blessing will be here to help them take the first steps of recovery.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. We are going to go with the First Lady. First Lady, Melania Trump. Melania Trump, she is there at Andrews Base, Joint Base, ministering to the families there. It's nothing like having a First Lady like Melania that's being there for the people of the nation. Let's go there now.
Every child whose parent serves in our great military should be enormously proud because your mom or dad is a true American hero. I had the privilege to visit with some of your wonderful children at the youth center here on base. I enjoy our time together, getting to know them. Americans have trust in the United States Air Force because we know you will never quit, you will never yield, and you will never fail. I also want to take a moment to recognize the families of those who serve. This kind of lifestyle requires its own kind of courage, and your sacrifices do not go unnoticed or unappreciated. Please know that our gratitude is boundless and goes out to each and every one of you with unconditional appreciation. This administration will always stand with the men and women of the United States Air Force.
So encouraging to have a First Lady that's out here just ministering to the people, helping them out. As a matter of fact, she was given a speech at the White House Historical Society. Let's join her now.
Since its founding in 1961 by First Lady Jackie Kennedy, White House Historical Association has the chartered mission of telling the stories of this grand home and the families and people who lived and worked here. This is the People's House. The artifacts on display earlier this evening are some of the rarest in the White House collection. Those priceless mementos are figures of our history. They help tell the story of our nation. As we sit together in this historic setting, I thank you all for being here. And I thank you for your continued support of the White House Historical Association. God bless you. God bless this home. And may God continue to bless the United States.
Even in the midst of great difficulty, even in the midst of hurricanes, even in the midst of all these struggles and things going on, we have great leadership from the president to Nikki Haley to the First Lady that's there helping out. So many good things are taking place. Our governors in Texas and Florida, we want to thank God for them, but we also want to pray for you right now. Father God, we thank you for our leadership. We thank you for what you're doing. We pray that you would impart great wisdom and discernment, Lord God, that you would prevent any more storms from coming on our territory, Lord. Give them wisdom at the United Nations. Continue to anoint Nikki Haley. God, let us all continue to stand with Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And God, we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion in America, Father God, that you would send revival, that you would send this third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship, because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with Him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan, and it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what He will show you. I mean, children are abiding, and God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.